going on, guys? Welcome to the Fuakata Podcast. This is Juan Navarro saying what's up with you guys. It's another week, another glorious week. I think the world is supposed to be unfreezing. Of course, here in Miami, we actually had a cold front. Who the hell knew? And we've been just doing pretty good with that, right? I mean, now we can start talking about spring and getting into the new year. But if you're reading comics and shit, it's just like, oh, look, the sun's out. Keep reading comics. Fuakata Podcast is brought to you by Florida Geek Scene and also our newest sponsor, my own little creation, The Goblin's Heist in Hialeah. We will be opening very soon. Yes, I am opening a comic book shop in Hialeah. Who would have known? So, we will give you all those facts later on once we're ready and set up to go. It's going to be a very cool location. Very small, very chic, like very chill. You know, we're not going to go out, we're not doing too much crazy. We want this to build slowly and get up there. If it gets up there, cool. So, that's going to be our new two sponsors. Remember, you can always go to Florida Geek Scene and listen to my comic review podcast. I just did 68 Jungle Jim zombie book that was really good. It's like Vietnam with zombies. So, I mean, how creepy can you get? And Hollow Gin by Boom Studios. That was a really cool kind of futuristic book. Those are the kind of stuff that I'm reviewing. We should have something up for review on this Thursday or tomorrow even. I'm going to see about nailing down what dates and everything else. It just depends on when I get certain books to review and what I get to review and all that and how long it takes me. So that's going on there. Also remember, folks, that this week Ravenous is out in the comic book shops. If you haven't gotten it yet, go to your comic book shops and tell them where the hell is it. Diamond kind of messed up on our order. We had our books in very nice and early, and it still hasn't reached certain shops. We're still waiting to see what's going on with that. But it helps if you guys are demanding it, because if you guys go to comic shops and you tell people, hey man, where's my Ravenous? They're the ones who have to really start pushing Diamond. If it comes from that end, Diamond will move their ass. I, of course, am the publisher, and I'm trying to get it in your hands. So when I'm pushy, it doesn't really do shit, does it? So yeah, check it out. Please let us know if you got your copy and everything else. As always, you can reach us at secretmediagroup, all one word, at gmail.com. Or on Twitter, you can reach me at Fuakata, F-W-A-C-A-T-A. So this week, one of the things I'm going to start going over, because we're in the middle of it. I mean, I'm talking about spring and new beginnings, and now we're in the middle of new beginnings between DC Comics Convergence and Marvel Comics Secret Wars. Like, everybody is just making new worlds and destroying old ones, and we're just colliding everything in the middle. And, you know, we could definitely sit here and bitch and complain about it, but look, if you've been reading comics long enough, you know it's inevitable. It's just gonna happen. You're gonna fucking have worlds come in and out, and things are gonna change and everything else. So we'll discuss that a little bit about world building and world destroying, what to do and what not to do when you're considering these kind of options, the nuclear option or what have you. And we'll cover a couple of those things, techniques that I'm doing and everything else when I do it, and even the worlds themselves, because I'm kind of, you know, I'm a Marvel head, so I'm kind of like, ooh, wow, look, Secret Wars, what's going on there? Convergence has me kind of like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So that one, I'm going to try to, I guess, talk it out and see if I can get to the other side. But, you know, this week is in comics, it's going to be a lot of Convergence issues, a lot of Secret Wars issues. And then already starting next month, there's like 14 new number ones, I think, from Marvel, and like about 10 coming up from DC. So it's just going to be a whole new beginning. Remember, folks, there's a lot of independent comics that don't have to do this, so you can always go and read those too. But we'll talk about both sides of it and, you know, what happens when you don't do that. And we'll probably delve into Invincible and by Image Comics. That one will definitely kind of like show you what can happen, and like Savage Dragon and so many, when you decide not to revamp anything and just fucking go for it. We'll discuss all that and everything else. And what else is going on? Nothing much more. We got Orlando MegaCon coming up. I'm going to be doing two panels there. I think I have a podcast right before that, so I'll probably announce everything else that's going on there on MegaCon. If you're going to be at MegaCon, let me know what's up. I'm probably going to get the word out on Twitter today just to ask people where they're going to be and what they're doing, and we'll probably be chanting it and posting it on our website. What else? Oh, Creature Entertainment. We're actually looking for submissions. If you have a completed project, at least an issue or something under you, and you want to see about getting it printed, getting it published, we have a new way of for you to do that through us. If you want to get into Diamond and what have you, go to creatureentertainment.com, click under submissions, or go to our Facebook page. You can find a lot of stuff on there. I mean, you know, we mostly deal with horror and science fiction and crime. We're not really deal with superhero stuff. Not yet, anyway. We have plans for it, but between all the shit that I'm doing right now, come on. When is that going to happen? But if it's a really good idea and something that falls into what our flavor is, you know, our flavor profile, hey, you know, we might really consider it. And hell, you never know. I know a couple of people in the industry. I can always refer you to them, too. Let us know what's up. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Run on pure caffeine lately. Okay, so let's talk about world building and world destroying. World building is nothing more than the idea of like when you start writing or start constructing something, that you're in that process of constructing an imaginary world. And so sometimes it's a whole fictional universe, you know, but and you know, sometimes they'll say, you know, constructed world. You know, a lot of it was popularized in science fiction and stuff like that, you know, and there's a lot of different things like, you know, you have to, what you're trying to build is something that's almost virtually in a way seamless, like it all comes together, it all kind of works, you know, and so when a person is involved in it, you believe it. I mean, classics are most successful are stuff like Star Trek or Star Wars, where you can kind of, you can see yourself living in it. You're interested. You see little things. And sometimes it's really made up of the details. It's not only the broad strokes that are there. It's not so much, you know, okay, what a Jedi is, but also the idea of what a lightsaber is and how it's constructed and how do they construct a lightsaber? When do they do that? You know, what part of their training is it? Is it a religion or a mindset? You know, those are the kind of things that when you delve into, they create that world altogether, and all of a sudden you have something, you know, on that. A lot of times, like for myself, I remember it was a lot of times like on our own putting it together, like on like playing D&D and stuff like that, playing Dungeons and Dragons. I remember we would slowly build a world. Guy would come out with his character, and let's say he says, "Oh, I'm a dwarven mage." You know, "Oh, that's a weird thing." Well, why? Well, dwarves tend not to be wizards or magic. They don't like magic. Things have to make sense and construct. So why would this guy be a dwarven, you know, wizard? Well, he's a weirdo. He's a weirdo within his culture. The way he does things and puts things together, he decides that he wants it, you know, to use magic and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. Well, would that make him a pariah of it? Or maybe does he come from a small, you know, town or enclave or subset in the society of dwarves that, you know, actually uses magic? So, you know, you start working from there, you know, and that's where you can even get into making themes and templates for other things, you know, because if you look at, you know, even later on, like the idea of there was a character class called the Artificer, and the Artificers were the guys that instead of shooting magic, you know, a magic fireball, they would make something that shoots a magic fireball. So then you go into that, you know, and I think there's a lot of things to it that you have to keep in mind, because a world building is really cool, but the other downside of it, sometimes it has to make sense. I have a project on my lap now, even now, that I really want to go back to. I really want to work on. And it's called Curiouser and Curiouser. It's about these two brothers. And it was like this alternate history world where it's a more steampunk aspect coming out of the Victorian into modern times, you know, in the Americas, you know, and using all that great background, everything that was going on at the time. I'm talking in the 1800s from the Civil War onwards and all the things that came out from that, and showing that America and the Americas overall of and showing that world. Well, what happened is that, when you look at the history of everything that's going on, you can tweak. Sometimes you can downright fuck with that history. But you didn't say, I'm basing an industry and I want that flavor in it. It needs so much research just to make it good, just to get that really nice ambience out of it. And I haven't been mired in it. I think it's one of those projects that just needs so much to get done, to get that done. And I've been backwards constructing it, because of it. I'll say, okay, these are the scenes I want. This is what I want happening in it. All right, now how do I justify this using history? How do I justify this using different aspects of things? And because when you get into that, that's the world building process. And it's so much fun, but it's so much work too. And you have to, think about like the basic infrastructure, Sometimes it's just simple, like how do people eat? How do, if you have this fantastic technology in it, how does that work? I remember, maybe I'll link this on the website. Great, great, amazing, amazing comic book artist and illustrator, Boulay, a Frenchman. He did a comic strip where he's at Hogwarts and they're explaining to him about magic, and then he raises his hand and he goes, "I don't fucking get this. Like, you can make a candle appear and light the room. Like, why don't you use that for, self-sustaining energy? Why don't we, make rockets that go into space? Why don't we solve hunger in the world? If you can just go poof and stuff comes out and you're ignoring the laws of thermodynamics, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that?" And then they, like, at the end of the comic strip, they fail him. And it's hilarious because it does kind of explain, like, how do you have a world with all this fantastic shit and it's still too similar to our world? The good thing is if you can kind of build on it and say, all right, cool, that it in the end, that you remember, the world has to serve the story. The story doesn't serve the world. You don't go and make this crazy world and then kind of say, well, that's why it is, because then it seems like a cop out. You don't have to go into it. And then by the other side of it too, just like what we did in our D&D books and our D&D games, we weren't like encyclopedic about it. We weren't like, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that and blah 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 and da da da. No, we were paint things in broad strokes, and then later on, if necessary, that's when we get into it. And it's kind of cool because if you leave it loose, then there's other ways that you can expand upon it later. And I remember even in D&D, like when they had their Pantheon, some of the most interesting articles at the time from Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine, I remember, were, them talking about gods. And it's be like, oh, okay, this is Cord, the god of strength. How does Cord work? All right, well, if you're a priest, these are the high holidays. These are the things that you do. When you pray, it's this. When you do is this. This is how this is how you would act. I thought that was a lot better than alignment. Because if alignment said, oh, you're just, chaotic good, and you're just, this kind of good guy, but you live by your own rules and whatever it is, that's not enough. But this would tell you, oh, okay, you would, if there was a problem, you would have a feat of strength. You're still a good guy, so you wouldn't kill the dude. But you know what? You would tell him, hey, you know what? Let's arm wrestle and settle this like men, kind of thing. So that's cool because it adds that flavor. And as long as it's helpful, it's good. If you're bogged down by a world and you're just like, ah, that sucks. It doesn't do anything for you. And then by the other side of it, it helps as a plot-making machine and kind of explains why events are happening now. And when you do that with world building, it's interesting because you can get into a situation where, oh man, there's just so much you can do and it's so great and you can indulge yourself in this place. But you gotta keep it kind of like, you gotta be careful to not have those flaws that pull people out, because now all of a sudden it's hurting your story and people are watching it and all of a sudden they're saying, wait, why is this not going on? I mean, it's a classic thing, like, if you even watch something like historical, or you watch like something like, I watch anything that has Native Americans in it getting killed, and I just be like, dude, you could totally change this fucking plot if somebody had an Uzi, And so it's one of those situations where, like, you have to watch out for that, because of course, if all of a sudden the Indians had, M16s, they would win, So you have to, say, okay, what would happen? Now that's an interesting point right there. What if you did? That was one of the things I wanted to do with Curiouser and Curiouser. What if they had the technology to fend themselves off? What would happen with that? And it's cool to see that cause and effect, and everything that's going on in your stories. And that's what makes people delve into it. And the littlest things, sometimes the architecture you use, the habits that people have, those are going to be the things that, you know, will really, you know, push you forward and everything else. So, you know, world building is a lot of fun, and you have to be very careful of it. And there are certain things that you have to, you know, like, watch out for. Like, sometimes people create fictional versions of, like, ethnic groups and stuff like that, and then the ethnic groups never go beyond one dimension, you know? And I think it goes the other way, too, because, like, one of the things I always thought was kind of weird, like, in Star Trek, you know, sure, you have all these different races, and you have, even the old school ones, you had, you know, I think more flavor because of race in it, but it seems to get sterilized and by the next generation and all the ones coming afterwards. And I'm not saying, like, you know, Captain Sisko on DS9 had to come out and be like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm the captain, you know, I'm not saying that. But it's kind of funny how everyone had the same pattern of speaking, the same pattern of behaving, that kind of thing. And that to me was the sterile part of Star Trek. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't even something that upset me, but it was just enough to be like, damn, really? You know, I mean, you don't have to go and do Wayans Brothers, you know, Brothers in Space kind of stuff. But it was also like, I felt like a lot of those things were missing, you know, a lot of those things weren't even looked into. And it's fun to have that. That again is what adds flavor, you know, into it. I remember in D&D, I would just talk about the differences between, like, wood elves and, say, you know, high elves. If high elves have cities and wood elves live in the woods, maybe their speech patterns would be different. Maybe you would be speaking to somebody that would be more indigenous, more like a Native American when you're talking to the wood elves, and the high elves would be more city-like and more elegant in their way of speaking. You know, those are the kind of things that you go and say, you know, gives the characters flavor and will differentiate elf and one elf archer from another elf archer. You know, why? Because they have a different culture. They have a different background. So those are the kind of things that are, like, fun to get it. But you have to watch out for a lot of stuff like that. I mean, you know, some things are just, like, you know, like, you know, you have to watch out for, like, the big social groups or a big, like, okay, this is, you know, I think it was After the Bomb by Palladium, which is another role-playing game. I love that world because it was the whole world of, like, all right, something happened cataclysmic in the world, and now, like, there's mutated animals running around. And humanity, there's very few of them left, but so everyone's struggling and afterwards. Well, then there was the Empire of Humanity, which I thought was such a broad stroke, because it was just like, all these human beings, they live in the city, and they have this technology, and they kill anybody that's immune, and they hunt them down, and they try to destroy them. And yeah, they obviously made them the bad guys, you know? But it came off like, okay, so all human beings are like that? They're all like, I think they never delved into it. Maybe you can see it, and I would love to see that. Like, okay, how is it in a city of empire of the Empire of Humanity? I mean, even the name is a little bit too much. I think they toned it down later on in later editions. So those are the kind of things that you can really kind of go into, you know? You have to make sure that you don't invent a history that's totally illogical or not really giving a strong sense of place. Like, sometimes, you know, okay, how does it smell like? You know, how does the sun rise? If you have an alien world and you have two suns, how does that work? You know, what do you mean two suns? Do I mean it circles two suns, or two suns circle it? You know, you can do that. You can go and say, no, the sun circles around this planet. Whoa, how would that change things? How would that orbit be? What would be the seasons like? What's a year like? You don't have to get into it, but you should show the effects of it if it comes up. You know, if not, it becomes something that's just a point. Like, oh, it's just two suns, you know how it is. And you can't get away with that. You know, it's a fun thing, man. I mean, it's a fun thing to world build and put it together and tell stories with it. I think the other side of the coin that you have to, like, you know, look at is when you introduce anything like magic or technology or something that's far beyond what we're doing now, not showing the full effect of it. And I mean, it's funny because some worlds, when they invented it, they were ahead of their time, and now they're behind it. If you look at any of the cyberpunk stuff, or even to a certain degree, like Tron and everything else, even though, like, you know, the virtual reality and everything else, I remember in cyberpunk, you had to jack in and literally put a jack into your head and get on the service, and then to be able to get into the cyber world and hack. That's kind of nuts. I mean, now we have Bluetooth, we have all this other stuff. Why wouldn't you? Maybe you could say, hey, to get that full effect, that thing that you want, you have to plug in. So there's ways of explaining around it, but it did date itself. The old version, to what it is now. And then by the same token, I remember, I forgot what TV series it was. Oh no, it was a comic. Fuck, I forgot the comic's name. I'll look it up. Maybe I'll put it on the links. But it was a great comic book that I love the idea of what they did, because they said, oh, you know, somebody downloaded a spell and they used the spell and it caused them something to happen in the story. I don't want to spoil it. And they were saying, well, you know, well, if spell books are so evil and everything, you know, and yeah, because you had a copy of a spell book. And it's like, oh, if spell books are so evil, you know, what would happen to that? It's like, oh, well, magic and computers don't run well. If you put a spell on a computer, some weird, too much, it just doesn't mix, you know. And it was a good explanation. It was like saying, okay, the powers of this magical, you know, spell or device or scroll being scanned and put into a computer, I guess, you know, between the electronics and everything else, if you try to put it out there as a PDF or something like that, oh, bad shit would happen and cross over. I thought that's a cool point to prove what's going on, so that you can kind of explain how come this is not more rampant. But at the same point, you know, same way, making it interesting and making it cool. Those are the kind of things that kind of make a world better, you know, something awesomer, you know. I can't believe I used the word awesomer. So that's you know, those are the fun things about when you're writing and you're creating something. It's another character. Just remember that this is to add flavor to a story. This is not a story in itself. I get a lot of times, like, you know, when people pitch stuff to us and everything else, I get either I have the characters written out or I have the world written out and all that. That's cool, but that's not a story. And that's where they're going to make itself. If you told me this is about a farm boy whose father was a legendary warrior and he's trying to redeem him and do all this other stuff, and he meets his father's old master and he tells it, you know, he teaches him the ways that his father did and everything else, you're talking to me about Luke Skywalker and Star Wars. Well, that's what makes it interesting, is the story of this farm boy who's trying to go in the steps of his father. And, of course, later on finds out that his greatest enemy is his father. So if you find, you know, when you come all that together, those are the things that add the flavor, that add everything else. That's a story. You know, Luke Skywalker, young guy with a cool lightsword, makes a great drawing, makes a great illustration, and be like, oh, cool, look at that. But that's not a story. That's not going to keep me past the cover, you know. So a lot of times when you guys are doing that stuff, you got to tell me, what's the plot of this? You know, when I've been drawing Tommy is, you know, about this kid with an imaginary friend and finds out his imaginary friend's a serial killer. When you look at that place, like, there's no world building there. I'm trying to base in a reality, and I don't really even get into it. I don't go and say, oh cool, this is the shop they go to, or this is their house, how it looks like, or this is how the school looks like. Really, I don't mind that. I want that to be refrained. What I really want is for, like, now I can tell you it's a cartoon rabbit running around killing people in a cartoon style, and that's why it's insane and it's crazy looking, but that's not a story. That's the stuff that's happening, but that's not the story of it. It's a story about this little kid trying to make sense of the world and adults, like, and that classic, you know, feeling of being hopeless as a kid and now being freed with this kind of crazy personality. That's a story. That's something that's going on. You know, that's what keeps a person from reading, because they want to know what happens next. You know, a crazy rabbit, that's not enough, you know, not for most people. But it's a good visual cue. It's a good thing to add flavor. It's a good thing going on. One of the things I was doing in the comic is I was never showing the father's face, and the mother was a horrendous being. And this is not to, like, say moms are worse or better than fathers. It was just the absence of a parent and the meanness of the parent created this kind of world for him. You know, so those are the kind of things that you have to work out. And when you're working out a story, you know, and world building helps do that. World building, you know, how do they refuel the starship? You know, what are these characters? What is the dwarven warrior eat? You know, what if the dwarven warrior is a vegetarian? You know, what if he just doesn't like eating that? Why is that? You know, of all the other dwarves, why is he different? Why is he the same? And by the same token, it also helps you maybe get away from the tropes and the bullshit that's out there. And there's really great websites about tropes and stuff that you see. And it's not necessarily that, oh, if you use a trope, it's bad. Just be aware that you're using it. And then from there, work off it so it's still interesting for the reader. You know, it's not bad to go, you know, essentially, like Shakespeare said, there's only 7 stories out there. And that's what you know, essentially that's all you can tell. But those are the kind of things to keep in mind when you're writing. And, you know, if you're ever like, oh shit, what do I do now? Step back, look at it, see what you're using, and then go back into it, you know? And guys, remember, you know, 90% of good writing is editing. You know, go back, write the fucker out, write the whole damn story out, write that epic saga if you have to in plot points and say, this happens, this happens, this happens, and while this happens, this happens. Write that sucker out if you have to, and then when you're done, go back and say, okay, change this, change this. This doesn't make sense, or this is cool, we can do more with it. You know, look at it in total, you know, and that's how you break it down and get this big overarching thing. Because you can very much dig yourself in a hole and fuck yourself over if you're not careful. And I think that's what leads to the world destroying aspect of this. You know, right now, I'm opening a comic book shop and I was ordering my stuff and I was talking to a fellow comic book shop owner and we were talking and he goes, yeah, right now is a crazy kind of fucked up time to order comics because you have two big fucking events happening on Marvel and DC between Convergence at DC and Marvel Secret Wars going into Battle World, you know, and they're revamping everything. So now you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have all new number ones, all these different characters. So you can't really go and turn to your customers and say, hey, you know, you're going to continue buying this Avengers. No, they already said there's a new Avengers now, all new, all different Avengers. And already Miles Morales is there, female Thor, Black Captain America. So there's going to be, and they might not want that. They might be like, fuck this, I don't want to buy that shit. So you're in a situation that, you know, you got to figure out, okay, you know, now what do we do as a comic shop? What do we order? And now you can bitch and complain about that and sit there and say, you know, why the hell are they ending this? Why do they have to do it? But let's just get over this already, I think. We all know this happens. We all knew this day would come, Algernon. The shit's going to come and they're going to change it. And we've always seen it. And one way or another, they'll hint at it and everything else. So why destroy a world? Why go in there? And I mean, this is something that happens in comics all the time. Because, I mean, if you go and look at, you know, anything else, you know, in books or novels, there's always a set thing, you know. Game of Thrones, you know, the fifth book is not going to undo books 1 through 4 when, you know, the sixth book too. I mean, it's not going to undo all the other books. This, you know, it would be insane and ridiculous. People would have a shit fit. Those things are fully realized. So why in comics does that seem to happen? I think it's two things. I think part of it is there's so many hands because unlike a book, there's no other George R.R. Martin. There's not a bunch of other people writing it and coming in writing the story. So you have a lot of hands, a lot of fingers in the pie. And so what happens is everybody has a take and a thing, and it's cool. Sometimes you have great ideas. You know, in Marvel's case, they had some characters that were really cool and warranted a lot of attention in the Ultimates universe, which was all separate. And they had characters on 616 that were kind of whatever. And they have, you know, they were trying to compensate for 75 years of history in some of those characters. Just like DC Comics, too. They had that 75, 80 years of history on a character. You can't compensate that. I mean, even still, I mean, Batman could not have even lived that long. You know, like, if it was an 80-year-old Batman, it would kind of suck. So because of it, we allow writers to explore new things and everything else. And then after a while, you say, all right, we got to rein this all in. And I think DC was worse than Marvel. I've been trying to read the New 52. And what I've been seeing is that if you're reading the Bat titles, like I was reading Batgirl, if you weren't reading all the other fucking titles, there would be a difference, just for example, between issues 4 and 5. I would be reading issue 4. She's about to finish off her beat, or she's at the climax of fighting this villain. I would go to issue 5, no mention of it, already on another story. Because why? Oh, go read Nightfall, or go read Birds of Prey, or go read, you know, Batman or Detective Comics or whatever the hell else is going on, or Batman Incorporated. And you're like, kind of like, what the fuck? You know, like, I want to finish reading this story here. I bought Batgirl and I want to read that story. And I think that's where the biggest problem can be a lot of times with them. And so when it spreads out that huge, and you have, like, Marvel's not innocent of it either. At one time, you know, I think Wolverine had officially, like, 7 comics with his name or his face on it, with him appearing in, like, 22 others. I mean, it was, like, ridiculous. Like, he was in too many fucking books. Like, if there were 5 Wolverines, it wasn't enough to do all that. That's where again you have a situation where you go, what the fuck? What how the hell am I in this situation? And you've written yourself as a company and you've written this universe into a corner. And I think in certain aspects it wasn't like that. I think it was also just saying, all right, well, let's get away from this. And I think there was telltale signs for that. Especially in Marvel, I paid attention more of it into Marvel. I think DC, they kind of shot too many things. I think it's also a lack of vision and a lack of editorial. I think you have these great writers that are awesome, great creative teams, but some of the editors and the guys that are there, I think the vision wasn't involved and they're all pumping, 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 and now all of a sudden you have a mess on your hand. There wasn't something, sometimes I've talked about this with other comic creators, like about how Jim Shooter, back in the 80s with Marvel, made that one universe. And when he had that one universe, it was one of those things that, for himself and for everybody that was reading it, was exciting. I mean, if you would be reading an Avengers comic and they'll say, hey, we need the Fantastic Four here. Well, they're in space right now. And and if you picked up a Fantastic Four issue, they were in space. So it's like, oh, cool. So, like, you have one thing, one thing going another. It's all modern day, and then everything would be kind of relative. And then if the X-Mansion got fucking attacked or something like that, somebody in the Avengers would talk about it. So you had this kind of like one world kind of deal, and it helped greatly with it. And you have to keep that in mind. But then again, these guys written themselves in a corner. And I think that it sucks because I don't think they did necessarily. I think it's just also an antic. This is, sales. This is what helps sell fucking books. If you stop a book and then you come back and you come out with a new number one, the comic shops will order it. As much as the comic, your guy in the comic shop is gonna bitch and complain, they're not. They're making money because you're gonna come in and you're gonna buy the number one, most likely. The problem is that there's gonna be people that get frustrated because all of a sudden the last 4 years of comics that you read are worth shit. They don't mean anything. Well, that's where they try to integrate it. So then you say, oh, cool. That character that I really like now is gonna be in the forefront, or they're gonna. The guy from one universe and the guy from another universe, they're going to be together. So that's going to be cool to look at. So there is that payoff. I think we have to get used to it. It's part of the sales ploy. It's going to be here. I think, and I would dare say, should I put my balls on the chopping block and say, in 5 years, we're going to see another version? I mean, both universes are rebooting too because of the main reason, especially for DC, but for Marvel too, they got the movies to contend with. And I think if the smart move is that the universes align themselves and they make sense so that when those movies come out and say somebody sees the Avengers Age of Ultron and they come back and they go to the comic book shop because they want to read more, they don't want to say, well, wait, oh man, wait, the Avengers beat Ultron all these times and wait, well, he's not that character and he doesn't look that cool or he didn't have the same powers. And Scarlet Witch, are they Inhumans? Are they mutants? What's going on? And what do you mean Magneto's their dad? I think there's going to be that confusion. I think it's bullshit. I think it's kind of bullshit. I think it's like not necessary, but what are you gonna do? People, it's all sales and everything. Now look at the guys who haven't done it. I mostly look at Image. I mean, Savage Dragon is like on practically on its way to issue 300. It's been the same storyline. They've done fantastical, crazy shit, and that's what's kind of the charm of Savage Dragon. Like, there really is a sense of permanence. There's a sense of, oh shit, what's this now kind of thing. By the same token, like with Invincible, you have seen so far like 100 and I think 20 issues of this long-standing story arc of everything that's going on. And it's a little brutal. It's a little brutal. If you really read it and you go through it, it's a brutal thing because it's one character going through this, all this shit that he's going through and all these worlds alternating, and he's still that same character. Nothing's changed. He's getting older. He's getting married. They're gonna have a kid now. I mean, it's all this kind of change, which makes to me makes it interesting. What's kept me an Invincible reader all this time. Like Robert Kirkman, who's such a great writer because he's a, writer written for, Walking Dead and everything else. What made this fun was the fact of seeing the long game and seeing like characters change and foes become allies and allies become foes and et cetera, but it's like that soap opera kind of aspect to it. And when you run it that long, other people like Spawn, I mean, 250 came out and a lot of people bought it because it's a whole new turn for Spawn. There's a whole new thing. And I think Spawn had to change. And I think if they did a whole new, universe for it. It's understanding because of all the legal trouble it had before between all the characters that are gone now, like Angela and what was that other one? Chapel, I think it was called. And they're gone now, so it would be understanding. I think the only thing with Spawn, it just seems like it has a finite ending, you know? And so you say, okay, how can you keep this going? What is the next thing that he can tackle that's worth getting into? With Invincible, it's this one character that leads all these other characters. And I think it's interesting, too, that they tried to do spinoffs, I think, like Guardians of the Globe, which were some of the minor superhero characters and some of the... And I forgot what was the other one. I think it was like Heroes, Inc. it was. And those are cool books. They were fun to read, and especially if you're into those other sub-characters that are into it. But it just didn't seem to have the weight to carry everything. And there's some stuff that has done good. I got to read more of it. There's other characters that have had the spin-off series and come back. That werewolf book, I forgot what it's called, and everything else. I've been meaning to go back and like read those and everything, just because it kind of, again, kind of, you're making this universe, you're making this world, and they're there, and they kind of bring everything together. And it's great because I know if I read issue 119, or I read issue 70, or I read issue 20, whatever it is, it's all one thing. It's all a sequence. I'm not afraid that I'm reading issue 24, and if I haven't read Guardians of the Globe number 4, I'm missing a thing. Now, it could affect sales for them. That's why they do that to you. They want you to go and read issue 4 and then have to get issue 16 of something else and get you to buy it so you can read the whole story. But it's kind of like, you know, how many fans fall off from doing that technique? How many people like me are getting frustrated and say, fuck this, you know? I don't want to read all that. You know, even for myself, I'm a huge X-Men fan. I can't keep up with all those fucking X-Men books. So luckily, Marvel's been pretty good of like keeping the stories in it. If you're reading this last run of X-Force or any of these, it's one line and that's it. But it was weird to be reading X-Force and then I'll read X-Men and Psylocke in that book too. Like, when the hell did that happen? When did Psylocke? And then the Psylocke in that book and the Psylocke in this book are acting differently. So it's almost like, you know, I tell people sometimes when you're reading something, a lot of it is going to be dependent on who's the writer, who's the editor, you know? Some people, like the classic Batman versus Superman fight, I always tell them, who's the writer? You know, that'll settle the fight for me right there. Whoever the writer is going to tell you everything. So when you're talking about, like, again, going into world destroying, it's kind of a way of cleaning up everything, getting the good stuff that came up to the top, scooping that out, putting it back in the pot again, and taking all the shit out, you know, and whatever you think doesn't work, you can redo it. But I think there's a fatigue that's involved in that. And we have to be really careful of it, because those are the kind of things back in the 90s that, for me, I mean, it was so many alternate covers and Chrome and all this other shit. And I didn't like the fucking artwork that was coming out of it. And the stories sucked that, you know, I hated the Fabian Nzenza run of fucking X-Men. By the time Bishop came around, that was a piece of shit. That whole thing. That is why I hate time travel, too. I was just like, okay, this is garbage. This is just shit. It's just people flaunting powers and posing really cool, and there's no story here. I'm not having fun. And just, you know, a year before, when you're looking at even issue 244, 245, you know, first appearance of Jubilee, when they're still in the Australian town, the X-Men, those are great. They're people compensating with their stuff. You know, you would see scenes where they were washing dishes and Colossus breaking a plate because he's stuck in his metal form. And Wolverine teaching, well, you got to pay attention to your sense of touch. You still have this, you still have that. All those kind of things. It was fun. Like, you saw, to me, it was more of a evolved story. And then, so when shit does happen, when you do go and put these characters in a fight, you would freak out more. You would go, oh, shit, don't let that happen to him. You are, oh, cool, fucking, he's kicking ass. Those are the kind of things that kind of world building and that background, that other character is. You know, when I talk to people about zombie years, you know, I base zombie years on Miami. Miami is, to me, the fifth character, that other character that's always in the story. You know, I have a little alley that I walk down when I go to the gas station to get cigarettes and shit. You know, I don't know how many times I've had ideas just going down that alley. Like, what would be a zombie attack there? What if you were a fucking, this is a good spot to hide, to change into your costume if you're a vigilante, you know. Oh, you could totally store your fucking, you know, bat bike here. This is the kind of stupid shit that comes through my head. But You can put suppressive fire right here if you're in these bushes behind this rock. Kind of shit like that. And, so it's great because Miami, I can use it as that background universe, as at least as the form. And from there, change it. And talk about, like, sinkholes and using this and the plant overgrowth and how everything is going up. Those are the kind of things that you can really work on. That's the stuff I always tell people. That's what you have to develop. You have to put together, and using that environment. But when you're looking at, Gotham City, you can totally bullshit Gotham City. You can say, oh, it's on a coast. It's not on a coast. There's this, there's that. It's like Springfield in The Simpsons. That's another world that's been built. And now that's a character-driven world. That's probably the best world-building example you can look at. And the thing with them, and they have the freedom, is that if shit is weird or doesn't make sense, one episode they have a gorge, and then they have a water, they have a beach, they have this, they have a river, they have a lake. They don't have to fucking concern themselves about geography or size or anything, because it's a cartoon, and it can just, as long as it serves the joke, then fuck it, then that's fine, and then we can be whatever we want. So I think that's a perfect place to look at when you're talking about world building and how you want to do stuff. Just remember, is the serve the story? You do not serve this world. You don't go in there. Sometimes you're gonna have cool ideas and you want to implement them, and then you go, shit, that would change things too much. Can't do it. And that's it. That's all you can do. That you can't do it. You gotta leave it to the side, keep it on a post-it note somewhere or on your computer somewhere, and just say, well, maybe I'll revisit that one day. Don't sacrifice your story for that. So, so world destroying is just inevitable, especially in comics, and we got to get used to it. It's going to come out. So then, but I do like is now, if you think about it, you can kind of encase a whole little era and say, okay, this is Marvel from 2000, whatever to 2000, whatever. This is the Ultimates universe. Like, the Ultimates universe is there. It's done. Like, you can go and read it. And it has a beginning and an end. And I think that's really interesting, because now you can see this microcosm and see the stories that came out of it. And I think for Marvel or for DC, it also provides for a lot of writers to come back and say, oh, there's all this cool shit we can mine from it. So it would be really, really fucking cool to do that kind of stuff. So, keep that in mind. I think we have to see how things are going on. And if you're a novel writer, that's a whole other bag, So I don't know. I look at world destroying as a good thing now, it's annoying. But, building on a world and keeping a story going that long, and when I look at Invincible and I'm looking at some stuff now, it's really cool. Like, you really have a saga on your hand. I do think you should have an end in mind. I think there should be a part of it where you go, okay, it's done here, and work towards that end. And you never know. You might reach that end and you have something else to say, So that's kind of cool too. I kind of like that. I like the pockets of it, and it would say, okay, there's this era or this segment, but it's just working all that through, man. I mean, it's fun. So, yeah, man. Let's go build some worlds or something. I think it's right. All right, that's our show today. Hopefully you guys will, be writing away in your sketchbooks or writing in your Evernote on your computer or your phone right now. Something's swirling in your head and you're making a story and something's fucking happening, and that's awesome. And if I can be of any service to that, then I've done my job on this God's green earth, damn it. I'll feel free to call in for the show. As always, we want to thank Florida Geek Scene, home of our review show. It's going to be out every Thursday. You can always support the show. You go on to fuakata.podomatic.com. You can actually donate right there. We have a PayPal donate button. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also see links to our Fuakata store. If you want any more of my stuff, see some of my artwork, stuff I'm putting up, my Instagram, all that crap, you go to Fuakata, FWACATA.com. Also, if you want any of my comic books, just go to creatureentertainment.com. We have our online store there. You can order anything we want. We will be at Orlando MegaCon in 2 weeks. I'll be announcing all the stuff that I'm going to be doing and our booth number and all that good shit on a week from now. And in 2 weekends, we'll be at Orlando MegaCon, and you can find all our stuff. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter at Fuacata, F-W-A-C-A-T-A. Email me at secretmediagroup@gmail.com. And you can call in and let me know what's going on. We've gotten a couple of calls and everything, but you guys are talking either way too low onto phones, or you're just like mumbling way too much that I can't even understand your questions. You know, there was one gentleman there that had a very long message, and I really wish I could have heard everything, but I swear it sounded like you had the phone in your neck, and I had to sit there for 2 minutes trying to get it. So again, if you want, call in 806-414-Juan. It's 806-414-5826. Leave a voicemail. Let me know what's up. What do you think of this podcast? What do you think of world building? What are your 2 cents on world building? You get it on there. I know a couple of you comic book creators out there. Let me know what the fuck you think about world building and all that other crap. And that's it for us for this weekend. Let me know what's going on out there, guys. And I'll see you on the road. Keep creating. Keep making. Do the fucking thing. Yeah.
Listen to this, Mulligan. I'll read it to you. It says, I have escaped from Arkham Asylum, and revenge will be sweet. Free once again to pursue my dishonorable profession. If you try to play your hand against mine, you will find the Joker is wild. Signed, the Joker.